Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Right, here we go again. Let's do this thing that we do at the end of the week, but it's not really the end of the week.
No, it's not the end of the week, is it? Because Jim is off doing a runner. He's doing one of his favourite events ever, which is a family wedding.
So we're normally record this on a Friday heading into the weekend, but we're actually recording on a Thursday. Now, that'll make absolutely no difference to you. You're probably listening to it whenever you normally listen to it, and you couldn't care less when we recorded it. I'm just telling you. Do you want the information or don't you? Make up your mind.
You do care, because you know, as you're listening to this, Jim McCabe is ahead like a badger's arse. because he'll be out. It's a wedding, it's an Irish wedding. And we know the phenomenon of Irish weddings and how historically poisoned everybody seems to have to get when they go to one. It's not enough to just go to a wedding anymore. Well, anymore, as if it ever was.
Right.
But I always assumed, I will say, I always had an assumption in my head that weddings globally were the same. I really did. I thought, like, you know, everywhere in the world, someone gets married and you go, right, let's meet up on the Thursday, and we get absolutely shit-faced until we run out of money, time, or friends.
Yeah.
The following Tuesday or whatever. I always thought that's just what a wedding is, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm with an American, I'm realising it's not like that. You know, like Americans, they, first of all, they don't get as fancy dressed as we do.
What?
They don't.
Hang on a second there. Surely that can't be the...
You've
seen all the American movies.
No.
And they have these expansive spreads where they bring in giant pillars.
They do all that,
Fancy schmancy.
They do all that, but they don't get dressed up like we do. It's smart casual, except for the bridegroom or the bridal party or the groom's party, whatever.
Right.
So they wear, like, you know, fabric slacks and those slacks and fucking tan pants.
Fabric slacks.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow, that is something.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, an ad for Guineas. Well,
there's an ad for Louis Coulton's. No, we've got fabric slacks. I don't know what you call them, but trousers.
You know. That'd be a good name.
Right, well,
trousers.
Fucking trousers, then.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, would you like some trousers, sir? I thought I'd go different. I thought I'd go some fabric slacks. do you have any fabric slacks? I don't know if I do.
Well, you know, they do all that, and then, like, it's not all shirt and tie or anything, even. Shorts, but not a tie. And then, and this is no shit, the absolute truth, in American weddings, 10 o'clock on the button,
right.
It's like, thank you for coming. We're going to live happily ever after. Safe driving. Good luck. See ya.
Great
it's over.
Idea.
It's over.
Oh, great idea.
It's over.
Now, that's an American tradition I would happily adopt.
Yeah, yeah. They don't do what we do. The hall goes back.
Don't completed me obligations. Feck off. Never want to see us again.
Ow! Yeah. There's none of this, like, you know, coming down to breakfast the next morning.
Oh.
Robbie, and there's people who've been up all night walking around with a pocket full of sausages. What time is it? And you're like, are you going to the afters and all? And you're like, the afters and the next day. There's none of that. They don't do any of that. And then I thought, well, I'd say, okay, granted, that's a transatlantic situation. But surely the Brits are like us and all. But they're not either. They don't do it either. They do a knocking on the head at, like, a midnight type of affair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time ago. I was a kid. I remember being at an English wedding, and it was one of those ones where it was in two parts. So they go off to a church or wherever, or a registry office or whatever, and they do the kind of, what are you going to do? And you're going to do that as well, aren't you? And you're all going to behave yourself, and it's great, and now you're together.
Yeah.
And then there's a break. And then they kind of reconvene.
Yeah.
In the evening
they
time.
They do. It's totally different.
For a sort of a... And it's not necessarily even a sit-down meal. Sometimes it's kind of like...
Just hanging around.
Yeah, just
a band on or whatever.
Yeah, a bit of finger food.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then...
And Freddie Mercury and the Queen, a tribute band beyond. And they'll be doing the whole... And that's it. And everybody has a few jars and goes home again.
Yeah.
It's not this absolute sense of debauchery that goes with Irish weddings.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, America is that's a big place now. You can't...
Yeah.
There's probably not just one size fits all for weddings over there.
I don't know.
You know, maybe the East Coast do it different to the West Coast.
I don't know.
And God knows what happens in the middle bit.
Yeah, in the middle bit is probably different. But sure, they're all marrying each other's families.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that's different.
They probably combine them all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Weddings, christenings, kind of funerals.
I suppose that's
funerals.
I know what you mean. There's like hayseed weddings somewhere in the middle there, you know, where it's all like, don't go somewhere in the country, boy. You know, all that sort of stuff. And people over there go, woohoo! And the whole town rolls out and it'd be on the back of an old tractor and the dad's there with a shotgun and all that. You know, and... Oh, that's out to carry on.
I'm sure. It's, I'm sure there's, you know, it's a big old nation. I'm sure there's lots of different stuff goes on. But so you're saying that there's no other nation that has that wedding thing that becomes such a big event? Or
I think Irish people and the Indians are about the only ones.
Do they go for it?
They go for it, yeah. They really like, and I don't think it's, they don't get slaughtered like Irish people do, but they do. It's like a week long affair, you know.
Right.
It's like all the costume, the traditional dress and all that, and the big parties and the family around. I think it's like, goes on for days and days and days, you know.
I suppose to be fair to say, the likes of, you know, I don't know, is it the Greeks or whatever? Sure. Yeah. If you kept that wedding going too long, should there be no plates left?
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
Well, sure, the Greeks are wild, aren't they, anyway? You know, ba-ding, everything starts real slow. Dum, boom, ba. You know, it's all like, diddling. Yes, you know that Zorba the Greek song. That's how Greek culture is, you know. How's it going? That's how you start off. What's
give us
the crack?
There.
Yeah, give us a plate. Would you like some salad? And then at the end, it's like, get up, hey! You know, smash the fucking gaff! Kick your envelope down! Well, yeah, you know, like it goes. Yeah, they go off on
but it might burn out quickly.
Yeah,
they might still knock it on the head by midnight.
Yeah, it's probably over before the 6 o'clock news.
And then, but I mean, I thought, is it not that some of the Far Eastern, you know, Eastern countries, I don't know why I'm saying Eastern it like countries. That. I mean, Eastern European.
Because you're afraid you're going to get in trouble,
Eastern European. You know, is there not am I obliged to say always drink responsibly when you're on a podcast?
I don't think you are, no.
You know, it, like they get stuck into the old vodka from early doors, like, by which I mean breakfast.
Yeah. But again, yeah. But then, I don't know. It's terrible sort of stereotype in Eastern Europeans that you never think it's a passionate affair, do you?
Right.
You know, you don't.
Okay.
Because modern media, and I suppose all media, has always been very unfair to Eastern Europeans. It's always painted them as emotionless sort of, you know, it's like, I'm 14 now, I am a man.
I will marry you.
I will marry you and we will have many offspring. And it's like, yes, I love you too. We must do it for the country. You know, it's always, they always do this. It's really unfair stereotype.
Yeah.
Where the truth is, we don't know. You and me don't know.
I tell
know.
You,
I'm sure loads of people
we'll have
know.
To do. We'll have to do this on the show one day and see if we can get people who've been at sort of like weddings in totally different cultures.
Exactly.
And all.
That's
like
a good
loads
idea.
Of mad cultures.
And Ireland's full
not,
of.
That, no, sorry, not that anybody else's culture is mad. I just mean. Just different.
See, he's afraid of getting in trouble. You know.
Different, I just meant.
Mad
different.
Cultures. Lunatic cultures like Wales.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
If Wales had a completely different, you know,
wedding situation
to the rest of the UK.
Imagine. Yeah. What, we jump in and out of a tyre. Yeah. Or whatever it is.
I would have thought the Scots would go for it. They're freezing all the time. They probably can't wait to get it over.
Yeah. Ah, the Scots. I mean, what's a Scottish wedding like? Cheeseburgers and all that. We're going on all around.
Deep fried.
Yeah. Everybody eating chips and having tenants.
Yeah. And the wind getting up their skirts.
Come on, Saltuck. What's the study? She's in your hoops. But I don't really actually
Donald,
know.
Donald, where's your thrills?
Yeah.
Or sorry. Or
does juice loose about this? Who's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Although in PJ's case it'd be, Donald, where's your fabric slacks?
Where's your fabric slacks? You can't get married in Scotland without a pair of fabric slacks. I'll tell you that much, eh?
Oh, they better be tatting.
They better be tatting fabric slacks. You won't embarrass my family. Your grandfather got married in those fabric slacks. I got married in those fabric slacks.
We've never had a trouser in this house.
You'll get married in those fabric slacks and so will your son, boy.
So we should do that. Like, I mean,
we should. It's a good idea, actually. Yeah, to find out what's different and how it's done differently. And you never know; people might get.
Are they even called weddings in other cultures?
I don't know.
Well, maybe they're called something else.
Are they even called weddings?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't sure if weddings was a Western phenomenon.
I said, do people get married outside of Europe?
Well, do the Chinese and the Japanese and everything, and
do they refer
to it as weddings and marriages and stuff?
I think that, yes, absolutely. China has a problem at the moment, don't they, where there's the women outnumber the men. Oh, South Korea, actually,
right,
as well. Much more so in South Korea, where the women outnumber the men, like, so significantly that, and you get to a certain age and you're kind of seen as the time has passed, you boy.
Right.
Once again, it's the world not being fair to women, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If a lad gets to 50 and he's not married, people go, you got away with it. Did you? You know, and you could be the loneliest, most desperate man.
Yeah.
Who all he wanted his whole life was to have a family and a wife or somebody to share his time with and go for walks with and eat chips with. Watch Netflix. That's all he wants. And he'd be there going, I'm very lonely. And they go, you are you? You want to try living my life?
I was just going to say, that's what he'd get is, you want to count your blessings?
Count your blessings,
yeah. I can't get a word in my own house.
Oh, your fucking ears burnt on me. Haven't you ever had
one? Never, yeah. I got to watch one of my own programmes in about 4 years.
Yeah. I get to watch the football in the pub for 20 minutes and I'm not allowed to know the result when it's over. That's the thing, isn't
very
it?
Very different take on it, yeah.
Very different take on it, yeah. It's always people acting as if they have their hard times and I don't know why that is, when it's a part of it, you know.
That's the human condition, isn't it? It's not idea that the grass is always greener.
Yes.
You always assume, why is it that part of the human condition is to always assume that everybody else has a better life than you?
Well, you do. That's a gymic condition.
What, that I assume everybody has a better life?
Well, you have this thing where you look at people and you go, if I just had this one thing, right? So this is the one step further, man. So Jim would be there going,
always.
I'll tell you something. Oh, but so,
wouldn't even be other people. It'd be literally like, I'll tell you, if I could just get a gate on that now, I'd be grand.
Yeah, and that's it. And that these are the things that Jim does. He goes, I'd be so happy with this garden if I had a gate there. Or I'd be so happy in the cold if I had that jacket there. Or I'd be so happy, you know.
And I wouldn't be.
And you wouldn't be, because there'd be another thing. Whereas I'm like, I'd be so happy in life if I had €1 million.
Yeah, you go big.
Oh, yeah.
You go right to the top. I'll never be happy until I get that €1 million.
Well, we want different things. You're a practical person. I want 3 bikes and a lifetime supply of jellies and £1 million. We want different
aspirations in life.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
I get you.
Oh, jeez, I went book mad yesterday.
You didn't go spending, did you?
No. I was trying to. I was on my own with the kids. I had to do the dinners and all, and they wouldn't eat the dinner, so I was there.
Didn't go and hire somebody, did you?
No, she was.
Have you got a butler now? Have you? No.
So I unwrapped 2 cornettos and says, "That's your dinner." I mashed them up and put them in the bowl. And then I sat there all sad and I found 6 bags of jellies and I ate every one of them in front of the kids.
In front of them?
Yeah, in front of them,
All right, so that's you being a responsible parent, but no, I couldn't let you have these.
Yeah,
These drive you mad.
Well, actually, you're not wrong, because I made sure I finished all the jellies before they finished their ice cream.
There you go.
Which made me feel slightly sick, but at least they didn't get any to make them feel worse than they were feeling anyway after I gave them a mashed cornetto for dinner. Which is actually something you would have after a wedding, isn't it? It's like you see the fella walking around with a sausage in his pocket going, I won't know anyway, you got a mashed cornetto around this hospital hotel, I mean. Are we still in the hotel?
Oh, no.
I thought I was in the hospital.
To be fair, hospital is the very place you might get a mashed cornetto.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that'd be Jimmy just going, if I could just get one whole cornetto, I'd be happy.
Actually, that's the other. That's becoming, and it's a good thing as well in an Irish wedding. I don't know what the equivalent would be in weddings from other places or whatever. But the gas thing is, you know, those cravings, they've started to give into them a little bit now in Irish, where like the crisp sandwich has become a staple.
Staple when you arrive
of an Irish wedding. So that, you know, when it's all over and like whatever, and people are getting properly jarred, and then they roll out the kind of, you know, the crisp sandwich.
Exactly.
Some places were doing the sort of like the little the little fish and chips things.
The cone of fish and chips.
When you have a bit of a goo on you.
You
get the munchies after a feed of gargle.
Exactly. Some people roll out the ice cream vans and all that as well. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now, so you'd be in with a chance of getting a mashed cornetto. Yeah. It wasn't meant to be that way. But big Uncle Tony sat on it.
Yeah. Uncle Tony's after sitting on all the cones. That's something that would happen, isn't it?
So now we have to serve them in a bowl.
Yeah, so we have to serve them in a bowl. Can the hospital give send some bowls over to the hotel? So, because Uncle Tony's arse is after crushing all the cones.
And now we're going to have to have mashed cornettos.
You can imagine Uncle Tony, and then in the speeches and all, Uncle Tony, that'd be after the speeches. Yeah. Before in the speeches, we'd be like, let's hope Uncle Tony's arse doesn't ruin another wedding. He's done 3 boxes of cones in the last 6 years. Not right, Tony. Shut your hole. You don't mind my hole, Tony. It's your hole we're worried about.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's always the way, isn't it? When you get the speeches as well, it's like there's always you slag off, like whoever. You do the nice thing for the bride. You slag off the groom a little bit. You talk about the mother-in-law and how welcoming to the family and how you have a new family, the whole lot. Right. And then for some reason, someone completely unconnected fucking gets it. And you're like, why did that happen?
Some easy target.
And it's it's like, isn't that right? Anyway, we won't go on anymore because we'll end up talking about Uncle Tony's arse again and nobody wants that. And he's like, what the fuck? That was 12 years ago. It was 12 years ago. There he is.
It's always some poor lad who can't fully defend himself.
Yeah,
it's like a granddad or an older uncle. Or else, in fairness, maybe sometimes it's an auntie who's absolutely twisted.
That's right.
And it's only a quarter past one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And let's look. We don't want the speeches going on too long because Auntie Rita's at the bar already. And you know how that ends. Dress over our head and a wig in the park. So come on, everybody, let's stand and raise a toast.
Yeah, keep your hair on
to the bride and groom and Uncle Tony's hall. And wish a happy ever after. Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think there's another wedding culture that will live up to that.
I have to say, I can't wait till Jim's stories on Monday. If Jim comes in on Monday and goes, you're not going to fucking believe what Uncle Tony did.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Some of you maybe have been practicing this for quite some time. But apparently man-keeping is a thing now.
I've only just realised what it is. I never heard of it before. Apparently man-keeping is something that, well, it's a place, a position in society that women keep falling into or finding themselves into. So, yeah, they get together with a man and it's exciting. You know, it's great and they're enjoying each other's time together. And, and I guess this is normal when relationships are new and you have that energy, that new relationship energy. Spend a lot of time together, and then you sort of basically say, well, maybe we should just be living together or something like this, and all of that goes that way, and gradually then he sort of loses ties with maybe the people he hung around with fairly regular, and then you realise that you can't, he organises nothing, and it's me all the time, and I organise, every time we go out to dinner, it's me, every time we hang out with someone, it's me.
Right.
And then
in terms of the plan making?
Yeah, the plan making.
And the decision making about what you do
about
and where
what you
go.
Do socially
and...
or societally, yeah.
Right.
And then she's going, well, we have the christening on the thing, we have to do that, and we've the wedding there we do. And he's like, oh, Jesus. And she's like, I'm organising our social life.
Right.
And what do you want to do? I don't know.
I'm that thing about, like, I've arranged to meet Mary and Jerry.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my God. Like, but we wouldn't do anything if it was left to you.
Right.
So you end up having this man. So if it comes to holidays, even they organise. If it comes to going out, if it goes to going to the cinema or even anything, the lads just fall off the organisational sort of cliff.
Right.
And you end up man-caping. And,
so what, like a pet?
Like a sort of like having a Labrador, yeah. It's like, where can I take the dog? You know, where's dog friendly? You know, that type of place. I can't be taking him everywhere because he'd be moaning or he'd be barking or he'd be causing trouble or he might want to go to the toilet all the time.
So basically having to organise everything in terms of, you know, activities of any sort.
Yeah.
For your man.
For your man.
Obviously, because it's very specific, is now known as man keeping.
Yes, and then it gets even worse than that because it gets down to the minutiae. So it's like, we're going out, we're going to do this, we're going to have a nice time. He's like, deadly, I can't wait. Great. Yeah. Brilliant.
And have you left me clothes out?
Yeah, where's me blue short? It's where you left it. Oh, it's not that I can't find the blue short.
Well.
Yeah, and it's like, then she's half dressing him then as well. So, you know, and it's like, and then it'd be like where all the work is done. She's pretty much dressed him and everything. And we are walking out the door. She's finally able to enjoy herself. And he'd be there going, there's a bit of a palaver, isn't it? Should have just gone down the low. I would have been happy not doing any of this.
Right.
So maybe, lads, if this sounds like you, spread your wings a little bit more.
Right.
Maybe do some surprise gestures or take the reins.
You
maybe
see, the
on
thing
something.
About it is, right, the response you're going to get to that, because it's already come in, to be fair, and funnily enough, nobody stuck their name to this. I wonder why, living in fear. Man-keeping is necessary because after the first 3 years of being told every decision you make is wrong, they just remember to let women do it. It's easier.
I think there's probably somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
You know, and what was wrong? What were you told was wrong? Although I understand
Tony,
frustrations.
Women like doing it. Tony's
is that
response.
Right, Tony? Is that right, Tony? Women just like doing it, do they?
You see, I kind of figured that was going to come in. There'd be a sort of, you know, that expression, happy wife, happy life thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That it's like, oh, well, look, you just, you know, do what you're told. That's the easiest way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I get...
Quite a contribution to make.
Well, I do understand to a degree, because I do... We've all been in the position where you go, what you want to eat? Anything. Oh, right. Italian. No. Right. Chinese, then. No. Will I cook something?
You said anything, though.
Will I cook something? No, I don't like your cooking. Right. But that's three anythings. Sushi. No. Right, what do you... Will I just run over the chipper? I chipper yesterday. You chipper yesterday. You chipper yesterday. Do you want us to make a decision? No. I'm after telling you anything.
Like, yeah, anything.
You're like, right, anything. Anything.
So you're saying...
Do you want a chocolate bar?
You're saying you certainly don't fall into the man-kept environment.
No. I think I'm the other way. I don't know what I am, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just a moaner. That's what I am. I'm just a whinge bag. Why aren't we doing anything? She goes, well, what do you want to do? Can we go to the motorcycle show? Oh, God, PJ. I'm not 14.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Something came up in the budget yesterday in terms of an allocation of funds for something, right?
Yeah.
And to say that it caught PJ himself off guard... It would be an understatement.
Yeah, we were going through the finer details, as you can imagine, this morning.
This show prides itself on that.
Absolutely. And we found that the annual budget for Ireland's Secret Service has remained at 2 million. The Directorate of Military Intelligence, known as J2, apparently. J2 is the name of it. The main intelligence branch of the Defence Forces. And they have been granted 2 million euros again this year. That's after getting an uplift in the budget from 2020, when it was just 1.25 million. Now, I have to say two things here. Number one, I had no idea we had a Secret Service. I had no riddlers.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Honestly.
When it came out, it was like, what? What do you mean? What Secret Service?
A Secret Service. They were secret, nobody knew they existed.
Exactly. People in our own nation... Didn't know we. That's how good they are. That's how secret they are.
They're not messing around.
We didn't even know they existed.
And the second thing, 2 million is the most unbelievable bargain for an entire Secret Service.
Yeah, sure, that's one James Bond watch or something, is it?
Honest to God, Puff Daddy's security costs more than that.
Yeah,
right. Literally, Cliff Richard spends more on security than that.
It would make you wonder how many. Are they in the Secret Service if you can run the entire operation for 2 million quid?
Well, I have to say, right, I mean, if you're in the Secret Service, top of your game, J2 agent for Ireland, right?
Mm.
You would imagine you're definitely on six figures, right?
I don't know.
Now, that means maximum, you can hire 20 lads, right, or 20
people. Yeah, but you're going to pay for the department and the equipment and their expenses and everything.
So maybe six, because you have to guess, obviously they're going to need a gun. That costs money.
Well, we're here now. Come on. Surely we have to draw the line at violence.
Is that a typewriter then?
Yeah.
Whatever. They need
computer.
Equipment.
Yeah, they don't necessarily need a jetpack.
Hash to hide under.
Surely they'd need a desk and a bit of office space.
You need somewhere to hang out and chat about what you're secreting on. You can't just pay the wages and hope for the best. They need a secret base and whatever. So that's going to cost half the budget. So there must be like six of them. Tops, there has to be six of them.
Yeah, yeah.
The famous five is what they should call the Irish Secret Service.
No, sure, isn't there, sure, there's the Secret Seven. Don't forget about the Secret Seven.
Who are they now?
They were also Enid Blyton. There was the Secret Seven. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's...
That's the kind of thing. So we've got seven secret agents lying. They could be anywhere. Could be absolutely anywhere at the moment.
Something, yeah. It has to be hats off to them. They are, without a shadow of a doubt, they must be the greatest kind of inconspicuous spies there's ever been.
And it's Irish as well. There's something I love about Irish where the government says, so what have you been doing? None of your business. We're doing secrets.
But we pay, don't care about
you. Give us the 2 million and mind your own, nose. All right, Micheál.
Glory days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Now, look at our love guru over there.
Ah, the guru.
Our love doctor, PJ Gallagher. Many times over the years on this show, He's spoken and given out advice of all sorts, men, women, you name it. Everybody's gotten advice about their dating life. And, yeah. And here's another bit.
Here's another one. It is official. Researchers in Sweden have put quite a lot of time into finding out if it is true. Do women prefer bad guys or good guys in the real life, in the real world? And it is absolutely now scientifically proven, as far as I'm concerned, that bad boys finish first.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Yeah, nice guys finish last is true. They've done this research and they broke it down into all these different categories, and they realised that people who have different traits, there's different traits, obviously. Bad guy traits, good guy traits. And people who have more good guy traits are less likely to be in relationships as people who have the bad guy traits. Yeah.
Bad boys win.
And it turns out agreeableness is the problem, which is amazing. So it's amazing Jim McCabe has ever had so much as a Frenchie in his life. Most agreeable man I've ever met. And like they say, so agreeableness.
So this is devastating news for me, obviously.
Devastating news.
You know, whatever. Nice guys being kind of like,
yeah,
deeply unattractive.
Well, not deeply unattractive now. You're attractive until you start doing nice things for people.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So basically, give me some bad boy traits there. A bit of selfishness, maybe?
What they say is it's not that plain. It's not that easy. So they say extrovert. To be an extroversion is basically considered a bad boy trait, because someone who's agreeable will do, you know, they always think, I'd like to do this, but I'd better run this past, or I better say, thing to do by this person?
I better get permission.
Whereas an extrovert will just open his mouth and go, I'm going down to do the thing with the team. Does anyone want to come with me? That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And people will either go, oh, well, I'd love to do that and join in, or they'll go, God, your man's terrible. But there's probably someone in the corner going, Jez, I wish I was as able to do the confidence as that. You
that's
know,
true, yeah.
And whereas agreeable fellow, come here, listen, if it's not too much trouble, and I wouldn't even be asking you, if you don't want to be doing this, is literally how Jim talks all the time. And maybe now, and if it is too much trouble, just be letting me know about the trouble. But if it is now, don't be doing the trouble because of the trouble.
I'd actually love to slag him off and disagree, but that is many of my conversations are very much like that. Listen,
yeah.
Just if it's all, obviously, if it's too much trouble, don't be worrying about it.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. It's and honestly, just if it suits yourself.
Please tell me to go and fart me trousers and never speak to me ever again. And tell everyone you know that I'm the worst person you ever met. Please do that if this is the trouble for you. Whereas an extrovert will just go, come here, listen, you know, give me this, or can I have that, or can we do this, or what do you think about this, you know?
So
it's more broken like that. And then neuroticism is a strange one, right? So neuroticism is one of those traits that falls between, it's neither a good guy trait or a bad guy trait. It's just how it's sort of handled. So if you're neurotic, so a gym neurotic would be like, going, everyone in this room thinks I'm a little lunatic. You know, and they go, everyone in this room thinks I'm a lunatic. They're all talking about me. Oh, jeepers, what am I going to do? Whereas if you're an extrovert, you go, everyone in this room thinks I'm a lunatic. They're all talking about me. It's great. I love it. I don't care.
Wow. We are literally mirror images of each other on this one.
Isn't that the case? Yeah. Isn't that the case? Yeah, definitely. You're.
I'd be here going, oh God, everybody thinks I'm trying to make it about me. That's awful. Oh no, I hope they don't think I'm making it about me. Whereas you're over there going, everybody thinks I'm making it about me. It's great. It's all about me.
It's all about what's going on. What's the problem? What's the problem?
You see, all right, so it's not really obvious bad boy traits.
No, so there's
it's not like kind of, you know, like hard man, loving, and fast.
No.
Oh, it's all very subtle. Yeah.
Well, that's what it adds
much
up to.
Harder to kind of.
That's what it adds up to. So they have it broken down to openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And what way that goes. So, like, open, just a person's willingness to try new experiences. And I like doing new things all the time and all, whatever, you know. Don't really be minding what people would be thinking of the situations. Whereas Jim was there, oh my God, I'm going to make an awful tit out of myself here. Everyone's going to say, that's a tit with that Jim McCabe fella and all. And then I'll be embarrassing everybody around me. You know,
you do know that self-talk is very, you know, you could be making me worse there with all your constant barrage.
Well, I understand
negativity.
That. I mean, if ever there was, you know, what's the role play in this show? The fact that Jim McCabe is laughing while I call him a tit with shows that he is indeed the good guy with the good guy traits. Well, I am indeed the bad guy with the bad guy traits. But that's why I get more Frenchies than he does.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Here at the Nova Nation, you wouldn't be hearing an awful lot of Michael Jackson.
Right. No, you wouldn't, no.
So, as a result, you know, wouldn't be something that we talk about an awful lot particularly. But there is a story today which does have a slightly weird twist to it.
Yeah, well, more revelations now about Michael Jackson in his past. There's often been talks about Michael Jackson, what he may have, may not have been in his life and what he may or may not have done in his life.
Mm.
And there's more revelations today.
You're right. And what's more, they come from somebody who has their own, you know, very high pop standing.
Yeah. Lionel Richie said he was really smelly. That's what's happened.
Wow.
Lionel Richie has opened up about Michael Jackson in his new memoir, and he says that Jacko had some serious hygiene issues at the height of his fame. He says, look, he was very eccentric in his day-to-day life, and said he was kind of like an absent-minded professor a lot of the time. But yes, he did stink, and Lionel Richie said he used to call him smelly. He used to call him his nickname.
To his face.
Yeah, yeah. He said him and Quincy Jones... They used to call him smelly. So why was he smelly? Well, there's a reason for it, he says. He says that he hadn't washed he would go for days without changing his clothes, because when he would send his clothes to be washed, they would now go, they're Michael Jackson clothes,
and steal them.
And they'd steal them,
put them up on Tinternet.
Yeah, and he couldn't go to a department store and buy new clothes unless the whole place had to be closed down and everything.
No, but surely he must have had staff out to, you know.
Yeah, apparently he liked to do it himself.
He wouldn't send anybody to buy him his pants?
And he wouldn't be able to buy you, I've got you these glitter pants. He'd be like, they're the wrong glitter pants.
That's true, I suppose. It is a very unique style. You can't just nip down to Dunn's.
He couldn't do that.
Get us a few white t-shirts. And,
he couldn't. He couldn't go down to Dunn's. He'd have to shut down the whole of the Dunn's. It was a big ordeal, the whole lot. So he just says, look, I'll just wear the same strides again. So he was a bit stinky.
Wow.
A lot stinky, yeah. Yeah, so, and Lionel Richie just coming from the most trustable source in show business.
Yeah. Lionel Richie.
Is there anything Lionel Richie doesn't know? I doubt it.
So it's more the clothes thing, was it?
Yeah.
It was the clothes more so than him having sort of BO.
No, he'd wash himself and then get into the same stinky, stanky clothes from the day before.
Right.
And like his glitter balls would start to sniff and all of that sort of stuff and the whole lot. I'll tell you something.
That glove, maybe.
Everybody know, there's always someone, isn't there?
Did he ever take that glove off?
Imagine the amount of times he wiped his nose in that glove. Isn't it disgusting to think of it? Isn't it? Isn't there every workplace has someone that has a little bit of a hygiene issue, isn't there?
Oh, well.
Oh, we've all had someone. We've all worked with someone that was a bit stinky. We have.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, I work with Jim McCabe, and honestly, it's like a new bottle of High Karate on him every day. He smells absolutely fabulous. It's one of the best
things.
It's
like being shot down in a bed of roses.
I honestly think you should be. That Yankee Candles, they should do a Jim McCabe smelling candle. That's the truth.
I'll go that way, will I? I'll go like the goopy woman.
Honestly, do you know what Jim smells like? Do you ever in a fancy hotel and they give you a nice towel and you stick your nose in it? That's what it's like.
But anyway.
It's unbelievable. Even his car, I swear to God, it smells the same as him.
Yeah, really. You haven't been in my car in a long time.
I think he washes himself with car wax or something.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. Now I'm reluctant, because the thing about it is, if there's anybody who actually works here who's listening, not that they do, but, you know, they'd be thinking, no, I hope they're not talking about me.
No, no, we all know who they're talking about.
We don't want to name anybody.
Well, it's me, isn't it? Isn't it? I hardly ever get to shower anymore in the mornings with the kids. I come in like a weasel.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Honestly.
I was going to let it slide.
I come in some days and Jim thinks he's seen a ghost. I came in the other morning. It was like I covered myself in super glue and jumped into a skip before I got through the door.
In fairness, you do have a lot of decisions to have to make nowadays.
It's a lot for one man to make.
You know, sometimes choice isn't your friend. I mean, look at some of the greatest minds. Steve Jobs specifically had his wardrobe done so he just wore what appeared to be the same thing every day.
Yes.
But it was a fresh one.
A fresh one every day.
You've obviously decided, I'll take a leaf out of Steve Jobs' books, I just won't buy the other outfits.
Yes. I'll just do what Michael Jackson did and wear what I find on the floor. I came in the other day with a baby grows a hat.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.